So we're just going to start off with prayer. God, we just want to thank you so much for tonight. We want to thank you so much for your faithfulness, God. We want to thank you so much for City Church and how you've used so many people here, Lord. We thank you that we do life together. God, we thank you that we're never alone, God. I thank you so much for that tonight, Lord. I thank you for that reminder that Ryan shared during worship tonight. Lord, we just give you tonight. I just ask that everything I say, Lord, every word I speak and every word Jessica speaks would be your words and not our own, Lord. Tonight is not about us. It's about you. And we just pray that your name would be glorified tonight. We love you so much. In Jesus' name, amen.
Well, I want to thank everybody that seen my heart and sewed into my missions trip with prayer and support. You all deserve a round of applause yourself.
We couldn't do it without you.
Yes. One of the biggest things I think that happened to me when I was on the missions trip is God gave me courage and boldness like you would not believe. When I went on my missions trip to New York City, I was encouraged to pray out loud for people, to stand up and give my testimony, to talk, and I just hid. I didn't want to be out there. I didn't want everybody to see me. I did not want anybody to hear me. So I just kind of hid. And I'd pray, but in the comfort of my own privacy. Well, Helen Todd does not allow that to happen, if anybody knows her. The first night I was there, she asked that everybody was to pray out loud as a team. And I was just asking God to give me boldness, to give me courage. And for the first time ever, I prayed out loud in front of a bunch of people I did not know. And it felt really good. And then she said, the one day, she said, tomorrow we're going to go to the synagogue and there's going to be a bunch of non-believers coming from the countryside and we're all going to share our testimony and it's going to lead these people to salvation. And I looked at her and I was like, sister, you got the wrong Bosniak. That's not me. That's not what I do. So the whole time that we were having worship, I just closed my eyes and I just prayed to God that he would give me courage and boldness. Just give me the words to speak. And all I had with me was my devotional. And Rabbi Makasha had asked me to give the testimony of my son's healing. And I did, and I stood up there and I gave Joshua's testimony. Before I knew it, I was spitting out all sorts of scripture and talking to these women. And Helen got up there and announced that I had given my first sermon, and it was on faith and healing. And we all got to pray with the widows and the non-believers, and they did come to know Christ. And I also helped pray out loud for a woman that received healing of blindness. So it was big for me, too. One thing that me and Shandy both noticed a lot was the children that were at the synagogue. Their parents pour so much into them when it comes to the word. These children were so educated on the Bible that everything me and Shandy tried to teach them, they taught back to us twice as hard. So that encouraged me to pour more into my children and working with Shandy to pour more into your children. Oh my goodness, those kids.
They're brilliant.
It was so hard to say goodbye. They were just awesome. They taught us three words. One was salam, which means hello. Konjo, which means you're beautiful. And ciao, which means goodbye. One thing Helen told us when we got there, because we were sitting there thinking, why would we need to share the gospel with a bunch of Christians in Ethiopia? And she told us that the Christians there don't have a personal relationship with God. They're Christians, but they don't believe that they could just come to God as a friend to pray and to do what they need. So it makes them easier targets for the other religions that are around there. I was telling Pastor Marty that the Muslims there buy out all the Bibles in all the bookstores so that the people that are trying to have a closer relationship with God don't have access to an unmarked Bible. So Helen actually ordered over 200 of these Amharic Bibles and had them delivered to the hotel where we handed them out to the children and the adults at the synagogue. Yep, we went down to the market. We went to the orphanage, and it was kind of like disheartening when we went up there at first. We went upstairs, and there were babies lined up on mattresses down the hallway. And Shandy even said something that kind of struck a chord with me. When we were just loving on these babies, and they were just so sick. And she looked over at me, and she's like, all they want to do is be held. And it's true. All they wanted to do was be loved and be held and just feel another person holding on to them. And all in the same amount of time that we were there, we watched an Australian couple come in and adopt two of the children. And that gave us hope. And all the children that you see from the orphanage up in the pictures, pretty much all the younger ones and the babies are already in the process of being adopted. It can take up to 7 years to adopt these children. And yeah, there's Emmanuel right there. He was awesome. We seen a need at the orphanage, and we went to the market. And not only were we able to hand out Bibles to the people at the synagogue, we were able to buy 30 pairs of shoes for the children at the orphanage for a measly $80 in American money. Yeah. So,
and they were nice.
If my child wants a pair of LeBrons, that 140-something better be an Ethiopian bird. It really made me think about things. This trip really humbled me to see what these people are grateful for. We were able to buy 10-pound bags of teft grain for the widows, and that to them was like gold, just to be able to make bread, and it would last them somewhere around 3 months for just a 10-pound bag. That was a humbling moment, too. Just that and a Bible, they were hugging on us and loving on us. It was just the greatest thing to them. All right. One of the places that we went to was the Fistula Center for Women. And this was the one that had the most impact on me on the whole entire trip. This right here is handmade. Yeah. The women at the Fistula Center. The Fistula Center is an obstetric, I can't even say that word. Fistula is a humiliating condition caused by obstructed labor. Some of the women that live on the countryside would be in labor somewhere where they said like 8 days. And then they would give birth to stillborn children. Their families would consider them cursed, and they would shut them out of the villages. And it says here, the women would come to us destitute, wearing nothing but urine-soaked clothes, and more often than not, barefoot. It says, with your help, they can be transformed into beautiful women with a new start to life. By buying this craft work, you're providing money to enable more poor fistula sufferers to receive a life-changing surgery. The women that recover at the Fistula Center make these so that other women can come and get surgeries that repair their bowels or their bladder, sometimes their uteruses, so that they can come back and they can have more children. And the hospital there in Addis does not charge them for these services whatsoever. This doctor from Australia came on a missions trip, and she recognized this condition, and she opened up the hospital there to help these women to have normal lives. It is amazing. And these women, some of them are able to create new families with new people, and they come back to Addis where they're able to have C-sections at no cost to them whatsoever. So they take care of them for life. Some of the women that recover in that center go on to get schooling to become midwives and nurses so that they can take care of other women that were just like them, and they can give back that way. The reason this place impacted me the most is because we were standing in the recovery center for all these women. Some of them had live babies. Other ones had just had a stillbirth, even after carrying full gestation. And I could see when we were standing in the front of the recovery room, Helen wanted everybody to pray over all the women that were there. There was this one woman, it just felt like the Holy Spirit was just tugging me in the opposite direction. I kept looking over my shoulder, and there was this woman, she must have been about 24, 25, and I could see her just kind of looking off. And then I would see a tear roll down her face. And it was almost like her thoughts became embedded in my head about what she was thinking about herself and her situation. She just had a stillborn baby. She just underwent a surgery that she didn't even know had even worked yet. So she doesn't even know if her body's back to normal. She's still healing. All the things that could be going through a woman's head about, you know, is it even worth living anymore? I don't know anybody. My family shut me out. And you could just see the sadness and depression on her face, the worthlessness. She didn't even want us looking at her. Every time we looked at her, she would kind of turn her head to the side. So as we were getting ready to leave, I looked at our interpreter, Ruth, and I said, man, Ruth, I said, it just seems like all she needs is a hug. She just needs somebody to let her know that, you know, she's worth still being here. And Ruth said, well, nothing's stopping you. So I walked over to this woman in the bed, and I started rubbing her arm, and she just looked at me funny, because in Ethiopia, they don't see blonde-haired, blue-eyed people. No. They're scared of us. And Ruth told her in Amharic that I just wanted to embrace her. And the woman looked up at me, and she just fell apart. And I hugged her, and she squeezed me so hard. And I only know three words. So when I went up to her, I said salam, which means hello. After I hugged her, I looked at her in the eyes, and I said honjo, which means you're beautiful. And we both just fell apart from there, because every woman just wants to be told that they're worth something, that they're beautiful. And she just touched my heart. She was kissing me and holding me. And then I had to tell her goodbye because I was falling apart. Helen was falling apart. Ruth was falling apart. And when I left that room, I looked up at Helen and I said, well, do you think that I made as much of an impact on her as she just did to me? And Ruth said, I believe that God brought you all the way from the United States just for that moment with her to give her peace. And I just want to encourage, I had a few ladies that had, you know, had some interest in missions work. And I just want to let everybody know that even if you think you don't have anything to offer, I mean, if love is all that you have to offer, then it's good enough.
Amen. Can everyone give her a round of applause? That was awesome. So, Jess and I, honestly, we did not speak. We had no idea what each other were gonna, what the other person was gonna say. And honestly, it's awesome because she just completely educated you on everything, which is really, really cool. And I'm gonna come around and I'm going to kind of preach and encourage you to step outside of your comfort zone. Basically, what she said that God took her all the way on the other side of the world to give this woman a hug. So we go on mission trips to help other people. Yeah. I promise you, every single time I come back feeling way more blessed than they've ever could have felt. So going off of what she said, and this doesn't really have to do with mission trips, but it's very important and it's linked with what Ryan said tonight and what Pastor said tonight. The other night I was very discouraged. And my grandma knows me like no one knows me because she sees me all the time. And she sees me all on when I'm good, when I'm bad, when I'm what'd you say? You said transparent. She sees everything. So I was very discouraged and thought it was fascinating what you shared tonight because I was just frustrated about something and she's not here, but she looked at me and she goes, you're God's kid. She said, you're God's kid. And she goes, you are set apart. And she goes, you don't compromise. And she said, I wrote it down. She said, you don't settle for anything less than God's best. And I'll never forget those words. And I hope that those, you're God's kid. I hope that you guys can remember that when you get frustrated, when you get sad, when you're disappointed. My prayer is that you remember that you are God's kid and that you don't settle for anything less than what God has for you. And you don't compromise. You wait on the Lord. And that is so perfect with what Jessica said. That woman just needed a hug. You have something to offer, whether it's a word, whether it's a smile, whether it's a hug, no matter what it is. It's not about you. It's about God working through you. Jessica, there's nothing special about us. We have no special talents. We have no special abilities. It's not about us. It's the fact that we said, God, use us. It's that simple. And every single one of you, no matter who you are, where you've been, what you've done, I don't care. It's about what God does through you. There's nothing special about me. We have no special access to God. It's all about God working through us. It's all about having faith and allowing God's power to work through us. I just wanted to emphasize that. I read a quote today, and it goes so perfect with what I wanted to share. It says, "How we walk with the broken speaks louder than how we sit with the great." And everything is said in that quote. How we walk with the broken speaks louder than how we sit with the great. So why mission trips? Why do I encourage people to go on mission trips? First of all, I wrote down, mission trips will get you right out of your comfort zone. You cannot grow if you stay in your little comfy chair, if you come to church every Sunday and Thursday and do your little Bible. You got to get out of your comfort zone. You can't grow unless you're stretched. And I loved watching Jessica. She was very, very stretched, and I loved it because God worked through her in a powerful way. She's looking at me. She's like, "Do I have to go up there?" And I was like, and she's like, "No." She's crying. I'm like, when you get that microphone, God's going to speak through you. And she didn't even know. God was preaching through her. She was preaching. And it was a powerful moment because God was working through her. It wasn't her abilities. It was the faith she had. It was the boldness she had. She was stretched. When you go on missions trips, whether they're international or inside the United States, they'll stretch you. They'll get you out of your comfort zone. And secondly, they'll break your heart for what God's heart breaks for. They'll put life into perspective. They'll help you see what really matters in life. We get so caught up in materialism. It's crazy in America. When you go outside of America, it's like a whole new world. It's so different. And I'm not saying America's bad. God wants us to be blessed. But what I'm saying is when you go and you allow yourself to see these things, you're never going to be the same. You're never going to be the same. And since my first mission trip, whenever I feel any sort of negative emotion, I'm reminded of these things I see. These people have nothing, and they're so generous. They don't even celebrate. They celebrate Christmas January 7th. They celebrate New Year's in September. So they don't celebrate New Year's December 31st like we do. And they decorated their whole church, and they had a special celebration for us, when we were the ones going there to help them and encourage them and share God's light on them. They were the ones that honored us. So it definitely just opens your eyes to things that your eyes can only be opened up to when you travel, when you do international things, when you get yourself out of your comfort zone. Jessica shared a lot about the orphanage and the women's hospital. It was just an amazing place. Sickness. I've had my fair share of sicknesses. Honestly, this trip was very rough. It's typical for people to get sick, a tummy ache, you know, not anything severe. There was 12 people on our team, and Jessica and I were the only ones literally that did not get sick. She had a little bellyache the first day, and I got sick when I got home. But literally 10 out of the 12 people, they were puking, they had the flu, they were very, very sick. However, for me personally, I don't know if you guys can relate, when I'm sick, I'm reminded of how much I need God. I'm reminded of how weak I am without Him. And I'll never forget when I was traveling back from Nepal on my other mission trip, I was so sick and I was so weak, and people kept saying, "How are you doing? How are you doing?" I'm like, "I'm great, but my body is just..." And on that 4-hour bus ride back, and we're not talking roads, we're talking dirt and rocks. On that 4-hour ride home, I wish I could give you more detail, but it's just not appropriate. I was very sick. It was bad. But I was so joyful inside. I've never experienced anything like that in my life. I was so sick, but I was so joyful because I was so thankful that I was being used by God, even though my body wasn't cooperating. And I don't know, sickness just does something for me. It really reminds me of how much I really, really need God. So I want to throw in some scripture for tonight that I believe is connected with the importance of being disciples and sharing God's love. Mark 8:34 says, "If any of you wants to be my follower, you must turn from your selfish ways, take up your cross, and follow me. If you try to hang on to your life, you will lose it." How many times do we try to do that? How many times do we try to be in control of everything, of our finances, of our relationships, of how our day goes? Jesus says, if you try to hang on to your life, you're going to lose it. But if you give up your life for my sake and for the sake of good news, you will save it. I love this. "And what do you benefit if you gain the whole world but lose your own soul?" What do you gain? Missions trips put your priorities in line. The stupid Powerball, I'm telling you. Tithe and give your offering, and God will bless you way more than the stupid Powerball. God can make you so rich in ways money can never make you rich. There's so much richness in the kingdom of God. He's so good, and he's so faithful. It just takes faith. It takes faith of a mustard seed. 1 Corinthians 6:19 says, "Don't you realize that your body is the temple of the Holy Spirit who lives in you and was given to you by God? You do not belong to yourself, but for God bought you with a high price." When Jesus died on the cross for you, that was the highest price he could have paid. And when you give your heart to him, you're no longer yourself. You lay down your desires. You lay down your will. When Jesus was dying on the cross, when Jesus was tempted in the desert, when he was being tempted over and over and over again by Satan, he said, "Lord, not my will, but your will be done." I want to be someone who in my deepest, darkest days can say, "Lord, not my will, your will be done." It's not about us. When we give our lives to God, it's not about us. Therefore, it's not about our comfort zones. It's not about our desires. It's not about doing what we want. It's about saying, "God, every morning I wake up, I give you my day, have your will in my life," whether that's going out of your comfort zone, whether that's doing something you don't want to do, like Pastor said. Sometimes we're going to have to do things we don't want to do. It's not about us. It's about him. And James 1:22 says, "But don't just listen to God's word. You must do what it says. Otherwise, you are only fooling yourselves." The Bible has everything we need in order to get through this life. God gave us this book to get through life. Everything. There's nothing that you'll face in this life that this Bible cannot get you through. When you don't know what to do, stop venting to people and go to God. Go to God. I don't talk about my problems. I don't talk about what's going on in my life. I go to God's word. Because when you argue against God, he's going to get you back. Sometimes going to people is good. Like Ryan was saying earlier, we need to be transparent. We need people in our lives that we can be transparent with. We need to do family. The City Church's logo is, "We do life together." We need people. We need each other. You can't do this by yourselves. Jesus did not want us to do life alone. We need one another, and we need to be transparent with one another. So I was trying to find scripture to go in with my message for tonight. And we all know John 3:16, right? "For God so loved the world that he gave his only son, whoever believeth in him will not perish but have everlasting life." I learned that as a child growing up. And I've never read it. Have you guys ever read the same scripture twice and something popped up that first time you didn't? The word "love" and the word "gave" just popped out. "For God so loved the world that he gave." When we accept Jesus into our hearts, and when we experience his love, and when he does things for us, we have a responsibility to give that away. Who are we to keep that inside? We went all the way across the world to share our testimonies. And sometimes we think sharing our testimony is not even a big deal, but people need to know what God is doing in our lives. People need to know about the miracles that God has done. When Jessica shared about her son Joshua, that touched so many people. That we need to have faith like a child. Oh yeah, I'm going to go on to that right now. Perfect. So, "For God so loved the world that he gave." As you can tell, I love kids. But I'll tell you why I love kids. And I was able to share this testimony in Ethiopia. I love kids because I lost my mom when I was 10 years old. And it's amazing to me how God can use a motherless child to be a mother to so many children. And no matter where I go, they're like magnets. It's the strangest thing. And if you look up there, there's a little girl with big brown eyes. You can't miss her. Her name is Abigail. Every single day, she would find me and sit on my lap. And one day, we're worshiping, and I'm just sitting there looking into her eyes, just staring at her eyes, and I just began to cry because when I looked into her eyes, I saw God's love. And I was reminded of the love that God has for us. And I was reminded of how God wants us to treat him like little kids treat their parents. They trust them. Andy and Ryan trust you. They trust that daddy's going to pick them up. They trust that daddy's going to buy them food. They trust that daddy's going to be there. And God wants us to have that childlike faith. I lost my job. God's got you. I'm going to be homeless. God's got you. I'm addicted to whatever it may be. God can help you. I'm living proof. And I was thinking of this, Andrea, when Ryan was preaching, when I was struggling really, really hard. I texted Andrea. She was my transparent person at that time in my life. And she prayed for me. We need to fight for people. She fought for me, and she prayed for me when I was really struggling. I'm living proof. God can help you. And you're never starting over. God is good. You're never starting over. If you only fail when you give up. You only fail when you give up. You're never starting over. The next time you get up, you wipe the dirt off your feet, you're not starting over. You know yourself from the last experience. You know the knowledge. You're wiser. You're stronger. You're better. You only fail when you give up. Stop focusing, and I'll end with this. Stop focusing on your own abilities. It's not about you, and it never was about you. I always find myself preaching about this when I get up here. It's not about us. You see, it's nothing about me. I have no special abilities. Sometimes people text me, and you know, they ask me to pray, and I'm like, I have no special access. I just have faith. That's all I have. I just have faith. Faith of a mustard seed can move mountains. I have faith that God can do anything. So stop focusing on you and your own abilities. Stop focusing on the reasons why it won't happen. If you have a desire to go on a missionary trip, God will provide. God will provide. You don't get it out of your own bank account. You don't have to worry about the finances. Trust me, I've been in school for the past 6 years of my life. I haven't had the money. But if I have a desire to go on a mission trip and God wants me to go, he's going to provide the money to go. He's going to. And I want to encourage you that you can do all things through Christ who gives you strength. Jeremiah 29:11 says, "For I know the plans I have for you." And I just thought, everything that I wanted to share tonight went perfect with what Ryan was saying tonight. You are not alone. We do life together. We do City Church together. We pray for people. We fight for people. We do life together. And with God on our sides, we can do anything. There's nothing that we cannot do. And I'll end with this, and then I'll pray. And if you want, Jessica and I, we want to pray for you. We want to pray and believe God for whatever it may be. If it's a missionary trip, we want to pray for you. If it's something that you have a desire to do and you just feel hopeless, we want to pray and believe God that God can help you get through it. If I were to give one piece of advice to you tonight, it would be that the one thing that I've learned through missionary work and through the way Jesus has changed my life is that the key to living a joyful, satisfying, fulfilling life is selflessness. It's not about you. When you wake up in the morning and you say, God, use me, how can I be a blessing to others? Stop focusing on you and your schedule and what you need to get done. Focus on others. Focus on texting others and sending them encouraging text messages. Focusing on saying, how can I pray for you today? It's not about you. Selflessness will change your life. When you lay down your life and you say, God, have my life, this is yours, your life will never be the same. I'm going to close with prayer, and you can feel free to leave. But if you want prayer for anything, I strongly encourage you to come down and we'll pray for you. Jesus, we just thank you so much for tonight. God, we thank you so much for your faithfulness. We thank you for City Church. We thank you that we have one another, God. And I just ask that whatever anyone may be going through in this house tonight, Lord, I just pray that you would give them hope. Jesus, I just pray that they wouldn't leave the same way they came in, God, that you would fill them up with encouragement, that you would fill them up with hope, Lord, that you would provide a person in their life that they can be transparent to, God. It's not over. They are not alone. We are not alone with you on our side, God. We just thank you so much for tonight. I pray that you would get everyone home safely tonight, and I pray that you would bless everyone and be with everyone and continue to lead and guide every single one of us. We give you our lives tonight, God. We surrender. Lord, we pray that you would have your way in all of our lives tonight. We love you in Jesus' name. Amen.